Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In South Africa, scientist Tulio de Oliveira is in his lab today, continuing the genome sequencing he and his team did that discovered South Africa's variant of the coronavirus. The Pope gave his annual Christmas blessing from inside the Vatican instead of out on the balcony before thousands. Just as well, there's no one there. The streets are empty of tourists and locals. And around the world, frontline workers are also behind doors closed to the public, trying to save lives. Throughout this pandemic, we've been trying to somehow see it, the difficulty breathing, the fear in faces, the lives behind these unfathomable numbers, so we don't lose sight of them. It's hard because it's so understandably locked away. But CNN reporter Miguel Marquez has taken us inside, not once, but seven times, including this week in a stunning report from the intensive care unit at United Memorial Medical Center in Houston. He heard this chilling assessment from Dr. Joseph Varone, chief of staff at United Memorial, about the next 6 weeks.
The next 6 weeks are going to be the darkest weeks in modern American medical history.
Even though the vaccine's being rolled out.
Absolutely, because think about it. The vaccine is going to take you between 6 and 8 weeks to get immunity.
Dr. Joseph Varone, chief of staff at United Memorial Medical Center. Miguel Marquez joins us now to share more about what he found when he went inside that hospital. And a warning, some of what we're about to hear is hard to hear, but we think we have to listen. And Miguel, we've been saying this, that the pandemic maybe would have more impact if more people could see it. And of course, even loved ones in most cases can't because they can't go inside the hospitals. You were able to get inside this hospital twice. You were inside in June and now this week. What was the difference?
The big difference is that people are sicker. The hospital, about half the patients that are in there are on ventilators, which was disturbing to see, walking by rooms and seeing just person after person. They are intubated. They are out and unconscious on drugs because it's too uncomfortable to be ventilated. They stare up sort of emptily into the ceiling, and that's just really disturbing to see. The others, some of them are very sick and very scared. Others are on the mend and about ready to go home. So it's a bit of a mix, but it's disturbing.
It is disturbing. And the thing that jumped out at me, I don't think I've heard yet. I mean, yes, we have seen you and some of your colleagues at CNN and other reporters across the country have been able to get in with the permission, of course, of everyone inside. And we do see people on ventilators, but we don't see or hear this. This is a woman wild-eyed in fear, staring around the room, trying to breathe. Let's listen.
To listen to Juana Corona trying to breathe is to understand everything one needs to know about COVID-19. She's pretty certain she got it from her daughter.
That's about all I could take, Miguel. That woman was struggling to breathe.
You're making me tear up here. Look, she was hard to see because we walked into that room and you have so much gear on, you can't really hear things. And then when I was listening to it later, that sound of her trying to breathe was so shocking to me on reflection, listening to it afterwards. It's interesting. Dr. Varone knew immediately that she was having problems. And as soon as we walked out of that room, he took action to start moving her into higher care, basically, because he knew she might be in trouble. Amazingly, she turned around about 24 hours and was probably going to go home without being ventilated. But she was scared, that was really disturbing to see. And that was the one thing that jumped out to me very early on when I was doing stories in New York, is that people were basically drowning while sitting up in a hospital chair.
Well, Dr. Varone, the terrific doctor who has been working endlessly, for months, hasn't taken a moment off, showed you a vial of the fluid that's in the lungs of these people. They are drowning. And some of them are, confessional. Here's Richard Gonzalez. He thought he could tough this out. Let's listen.
I kind of messed up from those symptoms that I got when I got it. I should have went to the ER room or the hospital right away, but I didn't. I laid in bed thinking it was going to go away.
It didn't, and now he's in the ICU, so scared. You also spoke with Luis Martinez. His father, uncle, and cousin all died of COVID-19. And, you know, so the last place he had wanted to go was a hospital. Let's listen.
Because I didn't want to do it, because you know how it is. Whenever they put you in a hospital, sometimes you never make it.
Oh, Miguel. Everybody in here, if they can speak, they're crying.
Yeah, this is the other thing that was different from when we were in United Memorial before in June, is that people are waiting longer, and that's maybe why people are getting sicker as well. They're waiting longer to go in. They're trying to tough it out. I've heard this from more than one person. Aside from being in hospitals, I've spoken to a lot of people with COVID, and they, especially like men, they don't want to go to the hospital. They want to tough it out in their room, stay. They're terrified to either go to the hospital or go to sleep. So they end up in their rooms, sleepless nights for days on end. And then, you know, some of them get better, some of them don't.
And Miguel, we should say, you go into hospitals, and you were in this one, absolutely head to toe protected, as was your crew. You had face shields, face masks, gloves, full body covering, booties on your feet. So you're not bringing something in and endangering the patients. And you've been in hospital 7 times during the pandemic, and thankfully you have not picked up anything. You visited with a nurse you'd met before. She was a patient. When you met her, she was in a bed with COVID-19. She's had it twice, but still she was back at work at your recent visit. Her name is Tana Ingraham. Her face is covered, of course, but we can see the tears in her eyes. Here's what she said to you.
It's like we're non-existent, and it's like you do realize that we're still here, taking care of these people, putting my life at risk, putting my kid's life at risk, my mom's life. I think we've been forgotten, truly.
Miguel, is that why you keep taking this risk yourself? Because we have to see this. We have to see these people.
Look, as a reporter, I covered wars. I covered Iraq, Afghanistan. This is the closest I have ever felt to that level of reporting in our own country. So I think it's just that drives me, that this is a national emergency. People are dying. Certainly the medical care and the professionals that are helping people every single day is a huge part of that. What drives me, I guess it's just that sense that it is important. It is frustrating to be here 9 months later, having been in 7 hospitals, and still have people saying, it's not true, this is no worse than the flu or a cold. And I do question, you know, what in the hell am I doing all this stuff, you know, given that I have to come home to, you know, a husband and to a life, and that it's, I put other people at risk as well. So to me, it's the most important. It's the only story. It's the only story. And it's the only way you can tell the story. I remember being the spring in New York, and it was beautiful and perfect. And yet there was this pandemonium behind the doors of these hospitals. It was crazy. It ain't going away. And then sadly, it's probably going to get worse. And I'm afraid I'm going to be in more hospitals before it's over.
Well, thank you. CNN reporter Miguel Marquez. We'll link you to his reporting at hereandnow.org. Miguel, thank you.
Thank you.